Open up your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7. Here you'll read the entire Bible, cover to cover. It's why we study books of the Bible through from start to finish. As your pastor, I am committed to that. Now, I have to tell you, normally I like that a whole lot, right? I get great satisfaction from doing that as your pastor. It helps me, and it helps you to know where I'm going from week to week. It also helps me a lot more than you know to know that we are studying the Bible in context. And it keeps me from preaching my favorite Bible passages over and over again, all the time, which pastors are guilty of, right? Which is good for me, and it's really good for you. But I have to tell you, there are some times I don't like it. This week was one of those times. As I looked at Hebrews chapter 3, this passage we're going to look at in a minute, verse 7, and I read the verses that followed, I said, man, this is depressing stuff. Right? Hardened hearts. Do you ever talk like that to God? I do. I'm like, oh, God, this is so hard. And so I'm wrestling with this passage all week. Things like hardened hearts and God's anger and unbelief and rebellion and disobedience. And again, open your Bibles with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verse 7. You're already there, where it says this, begins this way. So as the Holy Spirit says, isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit speaks to us today? The Holy Spirit still speaks. He does it through any means that he chooses. He does it when we get the point. He does it when we're too thick to get, when we miss the point, when we don't get it. But what follows, these next few verses that we're going to read in Hebrews, you need to keep your Bibles open, is a direct quote that is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verses 7-11, word for word. And I thought, isn't it great to know, right? He says, the Holy Spirit says, God still speaks primarily through his word. And he surprises us sometimes. So it says this, quoting from Psalm 95, today, if you hear his voice, the question I have for you this morning is, are you listening? Are you listening for his voice? Do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So what is he getting at? He's getting at a story in the Old Testament where, in spite of all that God had done for his people, right, in delivering them from slavery, in parting the Red Sea, and miraculously providing them with food to eat, in spite of all that God had done, they were a pretty sorry lot. That's the point of the story. They never entered his rest. They never entered the promised land. They never experienced the blessings that God had so graciously provided for them. They got up to the very edge of the water, and they looked into the other ground, and they said, what? There are giants over there. This is going to be a whole lot harder than we thought it was going to be. Pretty depressing stuff. But here's where I was missing the point. And it wasn't until I understood this that I understood the whole passage and it all fell together for me. Go back to verse 7. Look at how it all begins. Today, it says. Today, if you hear his voice, if God is speaking to you, don't harden your hearts. Don't get hard in your heart. Do you hear his voice this morning? Are you listening for that voice? Here's the point. If you can hear his voice this morning, this is the point of everything he's going to say in these verses. If you can hear his voice this morning, it's not too late. I didn't realize it until I'm reading the passage, and again, all this depressing stuff. And I realized that four times in this passage, three times specifically, but a couple other times alluding to it, it keeps speaking about today. The focus of this passage is on what we do today. Someone has said that God's best gift to us is not things, but opportunities, right? All of us have opportunities to change and to make a difference in our life and to go in a completely different direction if we're still breathing. Hit the person next to you. Make sure they're breathing. Kelly's got nobody. Somebody poke on Kelly. Some of you will know who I'm talking about, but there was this old comedian by the name of Milton Berle. Said this, if opportunity doesn't knock, it's time to build a door. There's still time in your life to build doors, right? To build a door and to go through the door of opportunity that God is providing for you. So verse 12 says this, so see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. The good news is that it's not where you... The good news is it's not where you want to be, right? See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. The very reason that you are here this morning is a sign that you are still seeking God at some level. It's a sign that you are not in the place where they were yet. So see to it. That's the good news, because if we are all still in earshot, right, we have an opportunity to learn and not make the same mistakes that Moses' followers did. We can still continue to choose to go in the right direction. I love Yogi Berra, right? It's baseball season. I'm like gearing up. Yogi Berra used to say, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Instead of doing wrong things like they did, right? He's recounting the story. We can choose to do what verse 13 says. Encourage one another, right? Actually, I was taught when you see the word but, or when somebody uses the word but in a sentence, it kind of negates everything that was said before. Encourage one another. Don't be like they were. In the original language, that word encourage literally means to put courage into each other. Develop this habit where you go around and just put courage into people. How often should we do it? It says daily. I don't know about you, but I need encouragement daily. Right? Sometimes after the greatest spiritual highs, you go away on a retreat and you come back. And you go into the dumps. We need to be encouraged daily, as long as it's still called today. I don't know about you, but when I got up this morning, I wasn't thrust into any hot tub time machine. I didn't wake up to yesterday. Some of you are like, what's he talking about? And others are you're like, I can't believe he said that from the pulpit on Sunday morning. I didn't wake up to yesterday. Man, Saturday was gone. I sure didn't wake up to tomorrow. Right? Yesterday's only a memory. Tomorrow's only a dream. God only gives us today. That's all he gives to any of us all the time. The question is, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? I like what Thomas Edison used to say. This is great. Too often opportunities are missed by most people because they show up in overalls and look too much like hard work. Right? He gives us these opportunities. We need to encourage one another to do the right thing. We need to encourage each other, right, to step out and take advantage of those opportunities when God brings them into a person's life. We need to be doing that to each other all the time. That's why verse 13 goes on to say, encourage each other so that none of you be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Right? Our hearts can get so hard. Listen, your sins are a liar. That's what he's saying. They will deceive you. Disobeying God will leave you short. Rebellion against God, against what he says is good for us, will always destroy you in the end. It always comes back to bite you. Not in the beginning, but it always comes around. I like what's said next. We have come to share in Christ. Isn't that amazing? Today, we have come to share in Christ. What a blessing. The Son of God calls us a brother and a sister. As far as the east is from the west, it says, so far has he separated our transgressions from us. He can forgive us of our sins. He can take out that stone that's inside of us. Right? That old stony heart that is just so bored with everything spiritual. He can remove it. He can take out the indifference that we have about God. He can give us a heart of flesh. Right? A heart that comes alive to him. Listen, there is nothing that God can't forgive. Nothing. Right? We have come to share in Christ. We're in him. Right? He has the ability to have us live in totally different lives. But it's important that we don't turn back. Look at verse 14. He says, if, right, we share in Christ, if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. And the Holy Spirit says it again just to make a point, right? We need to hold on to our confidence. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. He quotes it again. Don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Can you hear his voice? Are you listening this morning? Are you listening? Barbara reminded me in Bible study this week. Barbara said to me, man, we were reading through this passage. Barbara said to me, you know, it's like the manna in the Old Testament. God provided them enough food for how long? For today. What happened if they tried to eat yesterday's food tomorrow? It was full of worms. It was rancid. There's something wrong if our testimonies only talk about something that happened 25 years ago. It gets wormy. Right? God is a God of today. Right? He wants to work in our life today. I want you to know it's never too late. Never too late to change direction and do the right thing. Moses ran away from Egypt at the age of 40 in disgrace. At the age of 80, he returned to lead his people out of slavery. David was an adulterer and a murderer. He repented. He got right with God and was known as a man after God's own heart. John Mark, a young man in the New Testament, deserted the Apostle Paul on a mission trip. When Paul needed him the most, Paul wanted nothing to do with John Mark. He was like, you want him, Barnabas, take him. But yet at the end of his life, Paul, the one he calls for is John Mark and says, get him. You know, Mark is useful to me in so many things. God wants us to make us useful for him. He wants to make us useful for other people, to make a difference in the lives of others. He can take an Ethiopian, some of you know the story from the book of Acts, right? This guy's riding on a chariot out of Jerusalem. He can take this guy, this Ethiopian eunuch, we're going to get into that in a half a second. Boom, that's gone, I missed it already. He can take an Ethiopian eunuch and use this guy to found the oldest consecutive running Christian nation in history, Ethiopia. Absolutely amazing story. The founder of the church in Ethiopia starts in the book of Acts. He can take a Philippian jailer who one minute is beating the Apostle Paul senseless and turn him into a disciple who ends up inviting Paul home for tacos and crab cakes. Where's that in the book of Acts, right? Somebody's like, wow. He does. He invites Paul. Somebody's rolling their eyes. I can't take it. He can take Peter. Right? We know him as the rock. His head was kind of rock-like. Peter didn't get it a large part of the time as you read the Gospels. But he can take him and turn him into rock, into the rock, right, of the early church. Can you hear his voice this morning? Are you listening? You know, if God can do that for Moses, who was a stutterer, and David, who was the smallest, youngest member of his family, if he can do it for John Mark, a deserter, if he could do this, back to the Ethiopian, think about this. If he could do it for an Ethiopian eunuch, do you know what a eunuch is? I don't want to get too specific. But eunuchs, they would place eunuchs around queens, right? And they would do things to them to make sure they'd never be able to have children again. If he can take an he takes this Ethiopian eunuch and he makes him the father of a nation. Isn't that amazing? He's the patriarch, not able to have children, of the church in Ethiopia. If he can take a jailer who made his living locking people up, and he can take him into a giver of hospitality to Paul. He takes him home and he feeds him and he bathes and cleans his wounds. And he can take Peter. Again, Peter, who is not the brightest bulb on the marquee. He can take Peter, and in the book of Acts, right, he is interviewed by the most sophisticated, educated people of his generation. And they're looking at Peter, and they're saying, we kind of know this guy a little bit. He's a blue-collar kind of fisherman guy. Where did he learn all this stuff? And one of my favorite passages in the book of Acts is they look at Peter, and it says, they took note that he had been with Jesus. Things were different. If God can do that for them, what about you? He can still do that. He's still doing that. Have you heard the story of Scott Ginsburg? Actually, I was working on the message yesterday, and I'm like tired of the normal places I look for stories. You know, I'm always on the outlook for a good story. So I punch in opportunities and business. Right? And I come up with this story of Scott Ginsburg. Google's an amazing thing. Scott Ginsburg is known for something really, really strange. I think still, or up until very recently, he's worn one of those little blue name tags that say, hello, my name is. And he's worn this name tag for over 3,000 consecutive days. Everywhere he goes, he wears this name tag and it says, hello, my name is Scott Ginsburg. So on this one occasion, he's given this speech to an employee group somewhere in North Dakota, and he's telling his story about how he started to wear this name tag, and this is what he said. He said, on one day, I was at this on-campus seminar and noticed everyone at the end of the seminar, what do they do with the name tags? They take them up, and what do? They throw them in the garbage, right? It wasn't one of those nice plastic ones. It was one of those paste-on ones. So he said, just to be different, okay, I like this guy already. Right? Just to be different, I decided to leave mine on as an experiment. That day, the response I got as I went around town was overwhelmingly positive. Now, I've done that. Have you ever done that? Going to a conference and walked out with a name tag, and you go to Subway to get a sandwich, and they're like, hello, Doug. How are you doing today? And I'm like, eh. And you look. He said, so I had these incredible experiences, so I decided to continue the experiment and leave on my name tag permanently for over 3,000 consecutive days. Now, here's the cool part. Scott has made a career out of wearing that name tag. And he goes all around the country and he lectures to business groups and he tells them the things that he's just learned about people and greeting people and customers and how it relates to business. And he just goes around and he speaks about this stuff all around the country and the experiences that he's had over these 3,000 days. So he's out west speaking at a conference. And this is how I know it was out west. The guy comes up to Scott and says, dude. Who says dude except people in California and Kevin? And now, dude, isn't it crazy to think that your entire career came from something you saw in a trash can? This is what Scott writes on his blog. I never really thought of it like that. It was kind of funny. I guess some people look into a trash can and see trash, while other people look into a trash can and see an opportunity. He writes, what about you? When you look at the world, do you see garbage or gold? Do you see waste or do you see wealth? Do you see junk? Or do you see joy? What do you see? What do you hear? Can you hear his voice this morning? Are you listening? You know what? Not everybody listens. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the road that leads to life, right, is narrow. Jesus said that. In the majority of the population, Jesus says, few find it. Few really find the road to life. Look at who wasn't listening in verse 16. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not the ones Moses led out of Egypt? But they stopped listening. With whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the desert? They not only stopped listening, they stopped obeying. You know, we're reading through Kings and Chronicles right now in the Bible reading. You know, you read those stories about Moses and remember how they go out. And remember, as Moses is getting the Ten Commandments, he comes out and what does he find? What were the people worshiping? A golden calf, right? Remember, Moses makes them melt down the calf and they grind it into dust and they have to drink the water and the golden calf together. And you read this and you think, man, it's over. Then I'm reading in Numbers and I'm reading in Kings and Chronicles this week. And, you know, I'm reading the story of the kings and they've got this recurring problem with worshiping golden calves. They just keep coming back and coming back. Whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if they were not obeyed, right? They lost their opportunity. God gave them opportunity. And they lost the opportunity to enter in. So you see that they were not able to enter, it says, because of unbelief, right? It all went back to the fact that when push came to shove, when it got right down to it, they didn't believe God. In one place, Jesus is asked by this guy who was trying to get into heaven because he was such an exceptional person, right? You may know people like that. You know what? They're never too much fun to be around. Jesus didn't like to be around them either. So this guy who thought he was so together comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, what good work must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Right? Jesus' response, I love this. Jesus says, this is the work of God. This is it. Believe on the one he has sent. Right? It starts with what's in our heart. It starts. So what is God saying to you? I'm going to close with one other story as we end. What is God saying to you? Right? Right? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. What's he telling you to do today? That's all. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but today. Bruce Larson, great author, tells a story. It's springtime, and the geese are flying back into his neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about? I heard the geese, actually. Have you heard the geese this week coming back north? Have you heard them? Am I the only one? Oh, you've heard them? I'm out there, and it's like the fall, only it's in reverse. And the geese are flying back up. And you know, Larson says, I'm excited because this is like this winged, I love the way he writes. He says it was a winged promise of spring. You know, and he says, I'm in my backyard and I'm staring up at heaven and I'm watching these geese fly magnificently over the moon, right? These flocks of geese just flying. And he's distracted because he hears this flapping, floundering noise in his backyard pond. And he looks around and there in his pond sits this small circle of tame geese. You know what I mean? You know that about geese? Some migrate. Some make a decision not to migrate anymore. And these were his pet geese in his pond. And they're honk, 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 honk. That was pretty good. That's not in my notes. And they're hearing it. And they're getting excited in the pond, right? And then this is what he says. This is what Bruce Larson says. They heard the wild call that they used to know. the honking of the night sent little arrows of prompting deep into their wild yesterdays. Their wings fluttered a feeble response. The urge to fly, to take their place in the sky, for which God had made them, was beating in their feathered breast. But they were unable to raise from the water. Then he says this. The matter had really been settled long ago. The corn of the barnyard was just too tempting. Now their desire to fly only made them uncomfortable. Can you hear his voice this morning? Are you listening? Today, right? Today, as you hear it, it's all about today. That's why Hebrews 3 is there. Today. It's about today. You know, I was looking in Bible commentaries, and people get into these discussions about salvation, whether we lose it, whether we keep it, can we lose it if we've had it, can we have it if we never lost it, whatever. The conversations just go back and forth. And I'm in Hebrews 3, and I'm like, that's not what it's about, right? What Hebrews 3 is about is today. It's about today. As you hear his voice, you can still say yes. If you're here, that's the point of it. There's still time to fly.